The views expressed in this podcast do not reflect those of our training institutions or the APA. The information discussed is intended for educational purposes only and should not be used for diagnosis or treatment. This is a bilingual episode that has been recorded in both Spanish and English to demonstrate the importance of mental health in more than just the English-speaking population. The episodes may have slight differences in translation. Also, the terms Latino, Latina, Latinx, and Hispanic may be used interchangeably during this episode. Enjoy! Hello, this is Barrington Huang. I'm one of the media editors for the American Journal of Psychiatry Residence Journal podcast. I'm here today with Dr. Andrea Mendiola, Assistant Professor of Psychiatry at Yale University, and Nicole Klusterman, Medical Student at Vanderbilt University.
Hello, glad to be here.
Currently, Nicole and I are at Vanderbilt University Medical Center in Nashville, Tennessee, and Dr. Mendiola is currently in New Haven, Connecticut. Dr. Andrea Mendiola received her MD from Universidad Peruana Cayetano Heredia in Lima, Peru. She completed the General Adult Psychiatry Residency Program at Maimonides Medical Center in Brooklyn, New York, where she was a program-wide chief resident. Dr. Mendiola expanded her training in community psychiatry at the Yale Public Psychiatry Fellowship. Later, she continued her education focused on Hispanics and was inaugural fellow at the Hispanic Psychiatry Fellowship at Yale University. She currently works at the Hispanic Clinic and Outpatient Services at the Connecticut Mental Health Center. At the Hispanic Clinic, she provides mental health services to a monolingual Spanish-speaking population with severe mental illness. While at the Outpatient Services, she serves the general population. Her caseload includes refugees, first and second generation immigrants, and persons who are hard of hearing. She was recently awarded with the Faculty Excellence and Diversity Initiative. Dr. Mendiola is also the co-chair of the Latino Colectivo and the current research committee leader at this organization. She is primarily interested in topics related to acculturation, immigration, and its impact on mental health, with a focus on education and improvement of health systems.
Hello, thank you for having me on the podcast.
What drew you into psychiatry as a field?
I think I have an interest in mental health education and community health, and that was from the very beginning. And I think that psychiatry, and specifically public psychiatry, gave me the opportunity to do this. So just going back, when I was in med school, I was very interested in projects that involved understanding people's beliefs and traditions and how they were related to their health, or on projects that required teaching in the community. So I learned a lot from those experiences, mainly that to teach someone, you first need to understand them. And you need to understand their beliefs or the concepts that they have been that have been guiding their lives, sometimes generation after generation. And these beliefs, they influence how they make decisions or how they see themselves. So in certain way, I think that that's what we do as psychiatrists. We try to do our best in understanding someone's mind. And we try to see the world through their experiences and thoughts. So I believe that in that way, understanding our patients in a personal manner, we can help them the most. I think it's not only medications that we can prescribe, but also other tools such as therapy, resources from the community, education, involvement of friends and family, of course, when it's appropriate. So that's what actually drew me to psychiatry, this experience of working with the community and the patient as a whole.
What is the Hispanic Psychiatry Fellowship? What are some unique components of this fellowship?
Yes, the Yale Hispanic Psychiatry Fellowship was formed by Dr. Esperanza Diaz in 2020. And it happens from the collaboration from the Connecticut Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and Yale University. And I was fortunate to be accepted as the first fellow of this subspecialty. And the fellowship is an advanced training in culturally sensitive and recovery-oriented mental health services for the Hispanic community. And with culturally sensitive, we mean that traditions, cultural and specific characteristics of the Hispanic community are taken into consideration when providing the patients with mental health care. And actually, these cultural aspects are the central point of the relationship with the patients. And with recovery-oriented services, or focusing on recovery-oriented services, we mean that we focus on the person as a whole rather than the patient as somebody with mental illness. So we work with the patient, their families, their communities, in different ways of helping them to reintegrate in their community, to be part of the society where they can have a meaningful role and they can rebuild connections with other people. So that's why at the clinic we work, at the Hispanic clinic, we work with a multidisciplinary team. And this is the experience that we provide to the fellows that come to the Hispanic Psychiatry Fellowship. The team at the clinic consists of social workers, case managers, psychologists, peer specialists, and psychiatrists. We're all bilingual and bicultural, so it's really a team effort. And the fellow gets to lead this team and understand the crucial role of each person interacting with the patient. We also focus on involving the community and the patient's families, family members or friends in their recovery. So, because, you know, we want to understand the patient as a person, and we believe, like, for that, we need to understand also their family context and the community where they are living, because that has a huge influence in them. And that also helps us plan how to provide the best care. There is strong evidence that culture, race, ethnicity, language influence the communication between patients and providers. It also influences health access and treatment outcomes. So understanding these factors and focusing on them improves the health of our patients, which is one of the goals of this fellowship.
Thanks so much for sharing that with us and how you came to from this specialty. Could you tell us more about the Hispanic patients and populations you work with? And if you want, you can share about a specific interaction that you had that stuck out to you.
Yes, of course. I mean, New Haven has a diverse population in regards to ethnicity. It's something around 31% of the population that identifies as Hispanic. And at the Hispanic clinic, we have the privilege of helping this population. We primarily see patients that speak Spanish only, or that speak some English, but that would benefit from a Hispanic team. Or maybe they feel more comfortable sharing personal things in Spanish, despite that they can speak some English in other situations. And then the patients that we see suffer from severe mental illness, mainly a major depression disorder or bipolar disorder, schizophrenia or schizoaffective disorders. And some of them do not have any insurance, and we see them without any cost when they don't have insurance and can't pay. We also have a pharmacy at CMHC, the Connecticut Mental Health Center, that can provide medications without a cost to the patients if they don't have insurance. So they can also get medications and all the treatment without any payments. And the Hispanic population, as I said, is very diverse in New Haven, and the Hispanic community is also very diverse inside the Hispanic clinic. I don't have the specific numbers, but on average, around half of our patients are from Puerto Rico. The other half is composed by different nationalities, including Mexican, Ecuadorians, Colombians, and some other minorities from other South American countries. And well, during the last years, due to inner conflict and violence in Central America, we're seeing more patients from Nicaragua, El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala.
How does your practice of psychiatry differ, if at all, when working with this patient population in terms of diagnosing and treatment? Are there any cultural or resource differences that you have noticed in this population?
I think that working on a Hispanic team and at the Hispanic clinic, where everybody speaks the same language and shares in one way or the other the same culture, it's probably very different than in other places, because it somehow makes me feel at home when I'm at the clinic. At the clinic, you know, there is Latin music in the background, or there is some delicious smell of arepas in the hallway. And the decoration of the clinic also expresses our culture. And I think that how it makes me feel at home, the patients that come to the clinic also feel that connection. Or at least that's our goal at the clinic, that the patients feel that they can trust us, can be part of the clinic, that it's a place where they can connect with their therapists who share the same language and traditions. The Hispanic culture shares traditions that mainly involve the importance of the family and the family connections. It's very important being part of a family and the role that we have in them. Most of our patients, they want to bring their family members to the visits. And of course, if it's in the benefit of their health, we work that way. Of course, at times, patients, they need to meet alone with their therapist. But what I mean is that we value the importance of the family in the Hispanic community, and we make it a part of our treatment plan. Other aspects of the Hispanic culture, in particular, for example, religious beliefs, that should always be considered. You know, the Hispanic community is mainly Christian with its different denominations. So we work with churches in the community to promote mental health. We encourage our patients who are believers to continue strengthening their faith and connections with their religious organizations. And as I mentioned earlier, it is important to us that the patients trust us and build a relationship with us, because trust and mutual respect are other components of the Hispanic culture. For example, during times where immigrants suffered discrimination or threats, this relationship with the clinic has been key. And lastly, I want to add the cultural beliefs about mental illness in the Hispanic community. So Hispanics, and actually everybody, want an explanation or come up with their own explanation or reason why is it they are suffering this illness, or why is it this is happening to them right now. Sometimes the explanations are accurate or close to accurate, and some other times they tend to be more magical or cultural. And we work with them without dismissing them, but trying to understand them, you know, making their beliefs part of their recovery. Of course, there's also the negative side, where there is also stigma, which is very strong in the Hispanic community. And we try to decrease it with education to the patient and to their families.
Could you speak a bit more about your experiences navigating the intersection between mental health and Hispanic culture, especially as it relates to stigma?
Yes, of course. I can actually give you an example that I hope explains somehow this intersection, which at times can be a little bit confusing. So we saw a patient once a few years ago, a Hispanic patient who came because she believed she was possessed by the devil and no other issues besides the anxiety that this would produce to her, since she was very religious and she was afraid of the devil. So she actually saw somebody before, a non-Hispanic provider who thought that she had a form of psychosis and prescribed her antipsychotics, which she didn't take. She said, "I'm not crazy. I'm not going to have any medications for crazy people." Those were her words. I don't need this. And actually, when I asked her, like, "Why didn't you take the medication?" She just said that she didn't need any medications, that what she needed was an exorcism instead. So after evaluating her, which included a thorough medical and psychiatric examination, we did images and labs just to rule out anything else. We didn't find anything abnormal. So we spoke with her family. We also spoke with a neighbor And we spoke with a religious leader and her church. And it was interesting because they all agreed that she was just fine, but she was possessed by the devil, that she didn't have any other problem. So all her community shared the same understanding of her situation. It was not completely new to me, this idea of exorcism. I heard about some cases like this in Peru, but it was my first time seeing somebody actually experiencing it. So it's a common belief, and ignoring, you know, the cultural aspect of it or the beliefs from the community would make us think that this person actually was having some psychosis. But for example, with this patient, we did not prescribe any medications, and instead we started psychotherapy for her anxiety and some help with the church connections, like to build the relationship that she wanted, because she wanted to get this exorcism. So after about a year or so, her anxiety actually decreased and she stopped worrying about being possessed. On the other side, she also had a series of exorcisms at church, and she eventually was discharged from the clinic when she didn't need our services anymore. And when, with this example, I just want to make the point that cultural experiences or beliefs in different cultures can easily get confused as Western or medical definition of psychosis or other illnesses. So understanding the culture and using the report and knowledge from the community is crucial.
Thanks so much for sharing that with us. How can residents and students enhance their care for Hispanic patients who are experiencing mental health difficulties like these or others? And do you have any other advice for learners in working with this population?
I think being curious. Be curious, learn about the culture, learn about your patients, and remember that the goal is not only to have a diagnosis. Of course, like, that's something that we need to do. And when we're in medical school and residency, we have to learn everything to make the best diagnosis and to prescribe the most up-to-date or the best medication for our patients. But we need also to know them as persons, asking them what they like eating, cooking, or how do they celebrate their birthdays or holidays, or what is that they miss the most of their countries. And of course, asking them about their illness, or in a way that they can share what they believe about their illness. So for example, the cultural formulation interview is a useful tool for this, asking things like, why do you think this is happening to you? Or how do you think you can get better? Or what do your family think about what is going on? These questions help us understand the person. And this is not only for Hispanics. This is something that should be done on everybody. And I believe that we should aim to understand our patients this way, no matter where they are from.
Thank you so much for your time and your dedication to the Hispanic community. This is Nicole Kusman, Barrington Huang, and Andrea Mendiola with the American Journal of Psychiatry Residence Journal podcast. If you like this conversation, give us 5 stars and visit our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Dr. Mendiola's Twitter is @AndreaMendiola8. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Big thank you to you both, Nicole and Dr. Mendiola, for helping translate this episode in Spanish.
Also for our listeners, fill out our listener 3-minute survey, listed in the description. We also invite you to participate in a special issue with the Residence Journal devoted to minority mental health and diversity within psychiatry training and leadership, with a special focus on racial and ethnic minorities, as well as gender, sexual, and religious minorities, as well as individuals with disabilities. Forward any articles for preliminary considerations to fiona.fonseca@sthealth.org. The deadline for submission is on October 15th.